Back in action, NASCAR season is heating up, and we're at the cusp of the NBA playoffs, all coming up next. You're listening to The Hive with Devin Beasley, where you get the buzz on all sports all across the nation. Well, the weekend is past, and I got to tell you, it was an eventful one for me. I went to Martinsville. I went over there to watch the NASCAR race, the spring race, that they do every year. And I got to tell you, it was fun. Being that I'm based in Virginia, it's the closest track to me, so it's the easiest one to go to as well. I think I'm going to go to Richmond for the first time this year, too, which is going to be awesome. I've been going to Martinsville for the last few years with a very good friend of mine. We've heard from him before on the two-minute drill. So he's made an appearance on the show, not really in person, but in comments. So always appreciate that. But Martinsville is one of my favorite things to do. We always have a blast there. But this year took it. We took the tailgating kind of to a whole new level. He'd brought a generator. We had brats and burgers and some really good buffalo dip that he brought. So it was awesome, and it's always a great way to meet new people. We had a couple of new people with us in a group of friends, and we ran into somebody at the track that spent the day with us. So it was always a good thing to do. Always get to meet new people and meet new fans of the sport, and get to watch actually a really good race. The race itself was one of the best ones I've seen, kind of aside from the playoff races that we've seen from the Gen 7 era. I think the best race I've seen was back in Gen 6 when Denny Hamlin and Alex Bowman went nose to nose. Denny Hamlin called Alex Bowman a hack and burned out on his car and all of that kind of stuff. So this was definitely one of the best races I've seen aside from the playoff races in the fall. Larson absolutely dominated stage one. He was flat out the fastest car there, was able to hold the lead the entire time. But we kind of looked back towards the back, and we find William Byron driving around the back, not the pack, the back of the pack, but mid-pack. He was starting 19th, 18th, or 19th there, and he made it up to 9th in a matter of a few laps in stage one. Insanely fast. We thought there for a second that he was going to drive all the way to the front. In terms of quickest car, he was the quickest car to move his way up the order. Larson started out in front and held it. Larson won stage one. Bubba came in right behind him, Bubba Wallace, right behind him in second. So that was a good appearance for 23-11. And then we have stage two starting. Larson leads, fighting with Bubba a bit to hang on to the lead. And then we have Denny Hamlin sneak up there. He takes the stage. Bubba finishes second again. And I got to tell you, I'm beginning to become more and more impressed with 23-11, specifically Bubba Wallace. Just to start the year, we're a few races in. He's got three top fives. Yeah, Tyler Reddick kind of leads him in points, but Tyler Reddick's only got two top fives. He's got other stage points around. Bubba may not be the best stage finisher, but he knows he's starting to learn how to consistently finish races. And that's kind of landed him right now. He's 12th in standings, and we've seen steady improvement year over year from 23-11. I'm extremely impressed. I think both cars will make the playoffs this year, and they'll probably make the round of 12, if not farther. I don't know how much I expect either driver to go, considering they've got probably all of Team Hendrick to deal with. Chris Buescher's probably going to find his way to the playoffs again if he can get things rolling. But stage three started, and it was just all out Team Hendrick. Chase Elliott led out front for a while. He drove the car really hard to start the third stage, so he did jump out to a big lead, but the tires started to fall off, so the car fell off, and Byron got by him. Joey Logano was up in the mix as well there for a little while. Byron hung on to the lead right up until overtime. All right, and then John Hunter Nemechek in the 42, he blows a tire, ends up in the wall. They take him to pit lane, and all of a sudden, his car goes up in flames. His brakes started caught on fire there. So that ended his day, which was a bit disappointing. He was putting together a solid run for Legacy Motor Club there at the short track. Was running solid, came all the way down to lap, 398 or something of 400, and blew a tire, ended up in the wall. That ended his day. So it was a bit disappointing. Then we had overtime. And I got to tell you, Chase Elliott tried as hard as he could to get by Byron into turn one, but just wasn't having it. So Byron just pulled ahead, won the race. But it was really cool because it was Hendrick's 40th anniversary. 40th anniversary this past race weekend. So they had everything to do with Hendrick. They had Larson's championship car out there. All the drivers had ruby red paint schemes to match. So everybody had that running. They had red fire suits, red helmets. I mean, everything was Team Hendrick for the weekend. And not only that, but William Byron wins the race, and Jeff Gordon is one of the two Grand Marshals. The other one was Jeff Bodine. He was originally the first number five driver. But Jeff Gordon drove the 24 years ago. And to see his car win again at Martinsville with him as a Grand Marshal, that was awesome. I was a huge Jeff Gordon fan when I was a bit younger. Now, since he's retired, I'm moved on to love the sport in general. And I'm finally getting to go to some races, so that's awesome. But Hendrick themselves, they've won a combined time, or combined 29 times now at Martinsville. That's with Byron's victory. And so being there in person was like no other. It was amazing. I wouldn't change anything about the weekend. And so, but now it's time for our 2-minute drill where we listen to you. Remember, these comments are taken off of our Podbean comments from the previous episode from 2 weeks ago. Had something come up, took last week off. 2 weeks ago. If you don't get it the first time, keep commenting. We move around, try to get as many people involved as possible. You can also DM us on Instagram at TheHiveDB, or you can message our Facebook page. That's just The Hive with Devin Beasley. You can search that, find it, shoot us a message, drop a comment on one of our posts, and we'll be sure to take a look. So this one comes from none other than Robbie at P. He said, excluding the draft, who do you really think won free agency, and what grade, A through F, do you give them? So my first thought is who's got the most moves that are going to go out and win them or put them in serious contention to win a championship. And there's a few teams out there that were kind of hard to pick between. But my number one here, biggest winner, my number one was the Houston Texans. So, you know, off of a season where they have a rookie coach in DeMeco Ryans and a rookie quarterback in C.J. Stroud, they make the playoffs, they shock everybody, beat the Browns, and then move on, lose to the Ravens, obviously. Ravens were just too much. But C.J. Stroud is definitely the best quarterback to come out of that draft class so far. But here's what they did. They started out, and they came out, and they re-signed wide receiver Noah Brown. They re-signed Dalton Schultz and a couple other guys. Then they traded for Joe Mixon, so they get a great running back in the backfield. He's got a little bit of gas left in the tank. Put up a 1,000-yard rushing season last season, so he's still got something there. And then they made some big moves on the defensive side of things. So, they went out and grabbed Daniel Hunter. He's edge rusher, four-time Pro Bowler. He's going to have great impact on that side of the ball. Danico Autry from the Titans. He recorded 28.5 sacks with them over 3 years. And I'm probably going to butcher this name, but they also went out and got linebacker Azeez Al-Shaahir. He was actually involved with DeMeco Ryans in San Francisco. So he was there, and then he also played for Tennessee last season. Had 163 tackles. So big moves for the Houston Texans. I think this really catapults them into a Super Bowl contender. In fact, I would go so far as to say I would pick them over Buffalo at this point because they've now traded for Stephon Diggs. So now C.J. Stroud has some big targets to throw to. He's got Diggs and Dell. Got a nice running back in the backfield, and now they have a massively improved defense over last year. So that's probably my number one team. If you want me to throw another one out there, I'm going to throw the Chicago Bears out there. There are some speculations that Chicago is going to pass on Caleb Williams and go out and grab Drake May. I think they're fairly interchangeable. Right now, Caleb Williams, for me, is still a lock for number one if you don't take him at number one because of how this offseason has gone and how his college career has gone. You might be making a minor mistake, but I think Drake May is a good option as well. What's going to happen with the first and the ninth pick in the draft, which is what Chicago has? We don't know yet. There seems to be a pretty solid belief that they're going to draft a quarterback, obviously, at number one. Seems to be Caleb Williams, but a lot of it hinges on that. I know we said excluding that, they grabbed DeAndre Swift from the Eagles, Keenan Allen as a receiver, so now they've given whoever they draft at quarterback, we'll just assume that they're going to draft Caleb Williams. They've given Caleb Williams a couple of targets to throw to. That's really the two big moves for them. They've made some good moves on the defensive end as well, but the two big moves were Swift and Allen. And so, you know, pair them with Herbert in the backfield, DJ Moore at receiver already, and then Kmet at tight end. And you've got yourself a solid offense that is operational, unlike last season. And a lot of that could be put on Justin Fields. But now the Bears are showing that they are ready to seriously contend and try to win here. So those are kind of my two biggest teams there. Why not I throw out a loser? And I've already said it. I would take the Texans over the Bills because the Bills have just lost a ton of stuff, a ton of players. They've traded Stephon Diggs. They had to cut Jordan Poyer, Tre'Davious White, and Mitch Morse. So you've got an offensive lineman, a cornerback, and a safety. So there's your secondary, too. Micah Hyde seems like he could also be on his way out at some point. And they did re-sign a few guys, but they also lost Gabe Davis. And so there's kind of a big question mark where the receiver room is in Buffalo. I think a lot of that hinges on the draft, but right now there's just massive holes in Buffalo. And yes, you have Josh Allen, so yes, you're going to contend to be a playoff team, and you probably will be a playoff team, but you're going to be that team that's, you know, 10-7, exit in the first round. Maybe get through the wild card round, but I don't look at them and I go, this is the team to beat, kind of like we started last year. That's not a team that is the team to beat for me. Right now, Texans over Bills any day, and the Bills are going to come out and really show some struggles to start the season. They may start to get into their own kind of element, and we'll have to wait until after the draft to kind of see if they can compensate for any of these losses here. That's my number one loser. So hopefully that kind of answers your question, Robbie at P. And we look forward to, let's face it, probably hearing from you next week. Not a whole lot of people involved with the 2-minute drill at the moment. So maybe we'll just have to bring you on the show at some point and we'll just do a live 2-minute drill or a live segment, or hey, maybe you can come on and just be on the show in general with us for an episode. We'll see. hit me up, talk to me about it, let me know what you're feeling, and we might be able to bring you on then for an episode. We are right around the corner from the NBA playoffs. We've had teams that have shocked everyone, like the Thunder and the Grizzlies on opposite ends of the spectrum. You got the Thunder sitting at 55-25 and the Grizzlies who are sitting at 27-53. Granted, that a lot of that's due to injury, but I don't think anybody expected that. Did I expect them to be a little bit worse than last season? Yes, you gave up one of the best perimeter defenders in the league and your biggest tough guy, I guess. You know, as much as you hate Patrick Beverley, he's one of those guys, you hate him unless he's on your team. It's the same thing with Dylan Brooks. You hate him unless he's on your team. And his impact gets felt if he leaves the team. And when the Grizzlies decided not to bring him back, there goes that impact, at least on the defensive side of the ball. Eastern Conference, teams that have surprised me. I'm looking at the Knicks and the Magic for sure. Pacers are up there too. Teams that disappointed me, I'm looking right at the Atlanta Hawks. Trae Young, he's not enough. DeJounte Murray, not enough. Together, they're not enough. Get them somebody else. Or start to wipe the slate clean. There's a lot of talk around trade movement for Trae Young or DeJounte Murray. I think one of them are out to start the season. Me personally, I'd rather take DeJounte Murray. Trae Young is nice. He's a great player, great offensive side of the ball. But DeJounte Murray is a great offensive player as well, but he has the defense to back it up. Trae Young is a black hole on defense. DeJounte Murray plays really good defense, so I like that move. I'd like to keep DeJounte Murray more than Trae Young at this point. Put Trae Young somewhere like, let LA take a look at him. Pair him up with Anthony Davis and LeBron. Yeah, you might be handing them a championship at that point, but that's not your problem. You're looking to retool and rebuild and figure out a way to get a contending and a winning franchise. The biggest surprise to me being the Magic, Paolo Banchero leading them to a 5 seed. If the playoffs were to start today, we got a few games left. But getting set to start, what are my predictions? So I think it's fairly straightforward. I think the finals are going to be the Celtics and the Nuggets. I think it's that easy. I think that they're such a league above or a step above the rest of the league that I think it's going to be the two number one seeds. Lakers are kind of on a roll. I understand that. They could shock me. I don't see them making the NBA Finals, maybe the Western Conference Finals. It all kind of hinges on how D'Angelo Russell plays. We can get two versions of D'Angelo Russell. We get D'Angelo Russell that goes off for 20-15. Or we get D'Angelo Russell that goes 0-5 and scores 4 points. And you never know which version of D'Angelo Russell you're going to get out of the grab bag of possibilities. So a little bit of inconsistency there at the point guard position, and I think that's going to be enough to have Denver take the team to the finals. The Timberwolves, it's a nice idea. You know, Western Conference Finals bound, maybe. One of these guys is going to have to get by the Lakers. And so, interchangeably, the Nuggets or Timberwolves would make the Western Conference Finals, depending on who ends up matching up against LeBron and the Lakers, if that would be the one matchup that I think we have a possibility for a real upset. But me personally, I think the Timberwolves are just a little bit young. If you're talking this year and then next year, I would say watch for the Timberwolves in the finals next year. Get them their playoff experience under their belt, deep run playoff experience under their belt. They're not going to be as shaky. They're going to look great. They've had flashes of greatness. They are clearly one of the best teams in the NBA. It's just not quite their time yet. For the Eastern Conference, Boston, I'm not really looking up and down the line at the top 10 teams here. 8 seed being the Heat. I don't think, even with Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, Tyler Hero. I don't think they have enough to beat the Celtics, who have just gotten deeper and deeper. They made the move for Xavier Tillman. And with the addition of Porzingis, I think it's kind of a lock that they're going to go all the way. The Bucks, Doc Rivers doesn't have a good playoff record. In fact, I don't really like Doc Rivers as a coach. I think there's a lot of hype around him, and there's not a lot of performing. Knicks don't have enough at all. You have Jalen Brunson, who is great. He's probably the best player on your team. And then you have Julius Randle, who's a great big body. But they don't really have, in my eyes, a clear-cut bona fide star, and they need that. That's what you need in today's NBA to win. They don't have that yet. I think they're going to have the best pool possible in this free agency. This is going to be their biggest chance to go up to somebody big and go, hey, so New York City's kind of nice, ain't it? That's going to be their biggest chance to do that this year. If they don't, I don't think we see this Knicks team win a championship at all. They are one, maybe two pieces short of being there. And they just haven't been able to figure that out or get somebody to put in to their system. So Cavaliers, also the same, not really enough. If they don't make a deep run, I question whether Donovan Mitchell is going to want to stay there or if he's going to want to go somewhere like New York and team up with Brunson there and Randall. So I have big questions there. Miami is interesting. Philadelphia is interesting, but if you lock down Embiid with Philadelphia, it's over. And then with the Heat, they're a little hit or miss. If you can control Jimmy Butler's impact on the game, there's not much else they're going to do. So I think the Celtics, with the addition of Kristaps Porzingis and having that big body in the paint that can also stretch and adding depth on the bench, I think they're going to push for the finals as well. If I had to pick a team between the two to win the finals, I like the Celtics on this one. I really do like the Celtics. This will be their 1 year that they're going to be able to knock off the Nuggets. Otherwise, they're going to deal with younger teams that are more athletic. You're looking at the Timberwolves, the Thunder, the Grizzlies when they're healthy. The Mavericks are slowly starting to figure it out, and things are just going to get tougher and tougher as time goes on. But those are kind of my playoff guys here. Heading into the offseason, though, the teams that need the most help, I'm looking right at the Detroit Pistons. They need a complete overhaul, maybe a complete overhaul of the front office. There's a lot of questions surrounding where they're at as a franchise. They're the worst team in the NBA, 13-66. And then you're looking at the Washington Wizards, too. There's not even really a team in the Western Conference I'm looking at, and I'm going, whoa. They need a ton of help because the Trailblazers, Scoot Henderson's starting to get figured out, and they've got a nice young core there. And the Spurs have a man by the name of Victor Wembanyama. There's not a whole lot of concern that I have for that side of the league. But you go over into the Eastern Conference, you have the Hornets, the Wizards, the Pistons. The Raptors are just young, and they've still got a ways to go with the experiment with R.J. Barrett and Isaiah Quickley and Scottie Barnes. The Hornets, LaMelo's hurt half the time. Brandon Miller's starting to come into his own. So there's a little bit of life there before I'm going, hey, you've got to do something. You've got to make a move. But the Wizards are probably my most disappointing team this season. You go out and make a move for Jordan Poole, Tyus Jones. You retain Kyle Kuzma. Daniel Gafford is there. You do lose Porzingis, which is a pretty big loss. But adding Jordan Poole, Tyus Jones, guys like that, they should have performed better. 15 wins on the season is not enough for a team this caliber. So I'm asking major questions. Jordan Poole has been benched this season before in favor of Corey Kispert. I like that move. I think Jordan Poole is in his own head. I do think because of the Golden State era with Jordan Poole, I do think that he thinks he's a little bit above what some of these other teams are. And he needs to kind of come down from that a little bit before he starts to convince me that he's going to be a franchise guy. I don't think the Wizards look to keep him this offseason. I expect to see him moved again. Kyle Kuzma, there's a possibility he gets moved. I think the Wizards are trying to hang on to somebody who can be the face of their franchise while they're figuring stuff out. If Kuzma wants to win a championship, his best interest is to get away from the Wizards. If he's more about the loyalty and hanging around and trying to build a championship, he can hang around, but learn a lesson from the John Wall Bradley Beal era. You may not get a whole lot of help from this front office until they clean house. But with that, number one prediction is Celtics Nuggets in the finals. Celtics are going to take it. It's going to be a 7-game bloodbath, a bunch of heavy hitters. Big question for the Celtics is, can Jaylen Brown be consistent in the playoffs? He looks great in the regular season. Can he be consistent in the playoffs? Because he wasn't last year. And that's what ultimately prevented them from making the playoffs or making the finals in previous seasons. My sleeper team to watch is the Suns. Obviously, completely healthy Suns team. You got Devin Booker. You got Kevin Durant. Bradley Beal. I mean, that's a mean team. So if they can get on a roll, that's my one team to kind of sneak up the ladder here. But with that, I want to thank everybody for joining us today. Remember, for the two-minute drill, if you want to hear your comment on the show, leave a comment under the Podbean app. Under this episode, the one that comes out today, leave it under this episode, and you're in the running to be heard in next week. I want to give a special shout out to Brittany Stalker for our logo design. You can check her out at Shadows Art on Instagram. That's at @ashadowsart on Instagram. Check out her past, present, and future projects. You can find us on social media on Instagram at TheHiveDB. That is at THEHIVEDB. You can also find us on Facebook at The Hive with Devin Beasley, exactly how it sounds. And then we're also on YouTube. 2 weeks ago, we got our episodes integrated onto YouTube, so we will see those every week now, not only on the Podbean app, but on YouTube. Again, I want to thank everybody for joining us today, and this has been The Hive with Devin Beasley, where you get the buzz on all sports all across the nation. We'll see you guys next week.